Welcome to the TEFL Training Institute podcast, the bite-sized TEFL podcast for teachers, trainers, and managers. Hello, everyone.
Hi, everyone.
Today, we've got our special guest back to our podcast. He is...
Ray Davila.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for coming back on, Ray.
Pleasure to be back.
Today, we're going to talk about learning through observations, but three different kinds of observations.
Mm-hmm. The first one is, how can we learn through observing others?
The second one is, how can we learn through being observed? And the third one is,
how can we learn through observing ourselves?
So I think this is really interesting to talk about how to learn through observing other people, because at least for me, when I first started, and I think when I was a manager and you know, had new teachers who would come and work in my school, I think the main way that people would learn about teaching was through doing lots and lots and lots of peer observations. And yet, I find that training for new teachers is often not that much training on how to learn through observing other people. The times I've seen often those observations not work is someone comes in, they have a blank bit of paper, and then they just end up kind of like doodling for an hour or getting distracted and don't really take any useful notes. So what do you think is a way of focusing if you're observing people?
Yeah, I think I agree with you. Sometimes teachers don't know what they're observing for. So remember, you have a lot of observation tools, right? They're provided by your organization, your training center or schools, or you can also find the observation tools from a lot of books. For example, like Jeff Skwimner's Learning Teaching and...
Classroom Observation Tasks. That's extremely useful, and it's got like pre-tasks, post-tasks that can help you focus on different areas of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So what then, before you step in the class, might you want to do? You've maybe picked an observation tool. What next?
And you may also want to talk to the person who you observe what you are going to look at. And then you at least let the person to give you a heads up before you go into the class. It's also for building relation purpose, because if you know this person a little bit better before you sit into this person's lesson, knowing each other can help the person perform better or be more like themselves.
That reminds me of something I read from Duncan Foord's book called The Developing Teacher. And he's got like four factors which he says the success of peer observations depend on. So the first one is the relationship between the two teachers. Is it someone that you know and you like and you get on well with or not? The second one's the structure, what you're maybe going in to observe. The communication between the two people about like what you're expected to do in the class. Like, are you expecting the person to participate? Do you introduce them to the students, etc., etc.? And then finally, the feedback at the end, and how much, maybe if there is any sort of a debrief, how judgmental or non-judgmental might that feedback end up being afterwards?
One thing that I really found handy when I was a senior teacher and a mentor for new teachers was I would have them look at the lesson plan that I was going to teach, that they were going to observe me teach.
Yeah.
And then I would say, think about how you would teach this lesson. And then after the class, then we could discuss how the way you were going to teach it and the way I taught it are the same or different.
That's so interesting, Ray. It's almost like doing a prediction activity before a listening or a reading, right? But you're doing that before a lesson. You're helping them predict what's actually going to be in the class.
And then I think that kind of propagates the conversation, the discussion further during the feedback session, because then they'll ask and go, so why did you do it that way? Because I was thinking I would do it this way instead.
Yeah. I think that we talk about observing people. It's not something new, and it's been there for a long time. It's called observational learning. It occurs through observing negative and positive behaviors.
Right.
So, you know, what we just talked about is not just observing the person, something they did really, really well, and also look at what they did.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I was speaking to a teacher who just finished her CertISOL course recently in Shanghai. Her name's Coco. So this is her talking about how peer observation helped her.
I think peer observation is very beneficial, because when you observe the peers, you may find some mistakes you are making or you made before. And only you are out of that box, you're like sit behind the classroom, then you will realize it and you may find a way to deal with it.
By observing her peers, it wasn't necessarily that she got great teaching techniques from them, but it better helped her see the mistakes that she was making in her own classes through observing other people.
However, I think the issue with that is maybe because we never gave the teachers any training on it, and the teacher, most of the teachers that I work with, and they really don't know actually, oh, this is an opportunity for me to look at another person, not just try to spot the negative behavior and something didn't work out. It's more about reflecting their own behavior, their own teaching in the classroom, using the mirror to reflect and to see how you look like. But you are not trying to focus on another person, you try to focus on yourself.
Okay, should we move on to talking about how to learn through being observed?
You have to get feedback, right?
Yeah. I think something that's interesting is that we often say in like trainer training, or, you know, if you take a course like a new teacher training course, we'll often focus a lot maybe on making sure the observers give really great feedback and they use a great observation form and all these kind of things. When in reality, probably the thing that's going to make the biggest difference to the observation being successful or unsuccessful isn't the person giving the feedback, it's the person receiving the feedback. Mm. But what do you think are maybe some, from your experience on teacher training courses, what are some of the behaviours that teachers have who are particularly good at accepting feedback and acting on it?
I think one thing I can think of is that the teacher ask questions to get a better understanding. For example, if we said something and then the person would like to ask, okay, so can you give me more details? And then I did A, B, C. So why A didn't work very well? And I noticed my students, you know, how they reacted to it. You know, they at least they show the interest. At least they want to find out more information rather than just listen to what you said, either being defensive or completely agree what you said.
Yeah, so often that person's kind of passive in there, aren't they? When it almost that should be the more active role, shouldn't it?
I think the one thing that what you're touching on, Tracy, is about that thing of not just taking something for the face value of just it saying, so you need to improve this, or this went really well, your class was engaging, or oh, it was boring, but rather going more into the depths of what made it boring or engaging or exciting or a great class.
Actually, the paper published by Cornell University, and they call this negative inquiry. So you receive some constructive or feedback or criticism, you should say, okay, can you tell me more about it, right? And instead of, oh, I don't think it's true, give yourself a few more seconds and to find out more information from the observer or the person who is giving you the feedback.
Trainees sort of almost sabotage their own feedback by either, I think for me, two or three of the biggest things are, one, justifying like what you did in the class, right? So this thing didn't work very well, and the person who's being observed might go, well, let me explain the reason why that happened. And you think, well, I don't care why that happened. What's important is you realize why it happened, and you try and avoid that in the future. You know, I'm not judging you, I'm just giving you feedback. Or I think the other thing is being defensive, right? And just saying like, oh, that didn't happen. Actually, I thought that the students really enjoyed this, blah, blah, blah. Because you're not on trial, right? Hopefully the person's giving you feedback to help you improve.
And this is actually also on this paper, and it's called negative assertion. And people probably say, okay, your teacher talking time was really high. Instead of saying, no, I don't think so, I still think blah, blah, blah. And you could say, yeah, the teacher talking time was high. It wasn't very good. Didn't give students a lot of time to practice, to interact with each other.
Yeah.
So by doing that, rather than disagreeing with the person straight away at the moment, could really help you diffuse the critical moment, and then it can avoid the situation escalating.
Oh, when it turns into some sort of an argument. Finally, like all of these, I think, things that we just talked about kind of all have the assumption that the sort of power in this dynamic is coming from the person giving the feedback. But again, to mention Duncan Ford again in his book, The Developing Teacher, he mentions, again, three things that can make getting feedback from someone else useful, which is, one, the specificity of the feedback. But the other two are really interesting. So one is being in control. So the person who's being observed, you should be in control of the situation. And then that person being observed can decide how much or how little feedback they want, and also state a preference for, you know, if they want things to be critical or if they don't want things to be critical.
But have you find out sometimes even you give them the options, you ask them what kind of feedback you want, and most of the teachers say, oh, I want you to be direct, I want to get more constructive feedback. However, when you give them the feedback and they were not able to accept it.
I wonder if that ever happens, if you try at the end going, okay, now you can reflect. You asked for direct feedback.
Mm.
Like, how effective did you think direct feedback was for you today?
Mm.
What might you want to do differently next time? Finally, something I feel we don't talk about very much is, how can you learn through observing yourself? So, Ray, you mentioned that before you had filmed yourself teaching before and watched it back as a sort of a developmental activity. How was that process for you?
At first, it was a bit weird, and then I really enjoyed it afterwards. This was specifically for my portfolio that I was creating for the diploma, and I had to observe myself teaching a bunch of classes. And then after I videotaped them, then I would look back at the video, and then I would create a journal, and I would just write about certain things. And so I was specifically focusing on something that I wanted to improve on, which was how to encourage peer correction within my classrooms.
Yeah.
So I was looking for specific things every time that I was kind of reflecting on my teaching practice. The thing that was weird, but the thing that was really insightful, was that I was going from a place where something that was very abstract at one point became a bit more concrete, where now I had something there that couldn't be taken away. I can't erase it. I can't deny that something happened. It was there, recorded.
Yeah.
And I can stop, I can pause it, I can rewind it, I can listen to it again. And I think that was very enlightening for me. And it also allowed me to see things that perhaps I was too busy in the heat of the moment to be able to actually notice at that time. But now that I had a chance to sit back, drink a coffee, have a notebook with me, I can actually look at this and go, oh, wow, that's very interesting. And then I start devising ways of making sure that doesn't happen again in the classroom. Or if it's something that I really liked, what contributed to that actually happening, and how can I make it happen again?
I think it, like, for most people, feel kind of uncomfortable a little bit during that process, right, of observing themselves. I know I fairly recently filmed a class and a couple of training sessions for the purpose of using them for teacher training or trainer training. So I wasn't filming them for my own self-improvement, but just through watching them. I remember telling you at the time, Ray, I know it's a lot of annoying little things that I did, you know, snide remarks and and things like that. And like you say, at the time, you don't really pay much attention to them. But when you're watching back, you really become so much more aware. You probably have heard of the Johari window. So this, again, it's four quadrants of like things that you can see and things that other people can see. So there's a public self, which is things that you know about yourself and everyone can see. The facade self, which is things that you can see about yourself, but other people can't. The blind self, which is things that other people can see about you, but you can. And I think that's maybe the part of the quadrant that self-observation through video is really, really useful for. There's all these things that you were doing, but you could never actually see them. They were in your blind spot. Just by turning that video on once, you instantly become aware of all these different things that you do that you couldn't see before. To wrap up, what would be your top tip for teachers to learn through any kind of observations?
Know the goal. What is exactly it is you're trying to get from that class that you're going to observe?
So if you do disagree with some of the feedback you received, don't respond immediately and just take a step back and make a list of things that you agree or you'd like to clarify, and then you can have another conversation with the observer or who gave you the feedback. What about you, Ross?
We don't get that many opportunities to be observed. And then so often those opportunities end up being spurned because the people aren't in the right frame of mind for them. So get in the right frame of mind and make sure you get as much out of it as you can. Ray, thanks very much for coming on again.
Pleasure to be here with you guys.
Hope to have you on again in the future.
I would love that.
Bye, everyone.
See ya.
For more podcasts, videos, and blogs, visit our website www.tefltraininginstitute.com.
If you've got a question or a topic you'd like us to discuss, leave us a comment.
And if you want to keep up to date with our latest content, add us on WeChat at Tefl Training Institute.
If you enjoyed our podcast, please rate us on iTunes.